Welcome to Productivity Book Group. I'm your host and facilitator, Ray Sidney Smith. Thanks for joining us here on Productivity Book Group for a summary review episode of Decluttering at the Speed of Life, Winning Your Never-Ending Battle with Stuff by Dana K. White. Today on the podcast, I have Dr. Frank Buck, the author of Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders, and a regular speaker on time management. Welcome to Productivity Book Group, Frank.
Ray, it is good to be with you as always.
Good to have you here. And so I first learned about Dana K. White. She is a blogger, podcaster, speaker, and a decluttering expert now. I suppose she wasn't at first, but she is now. I learned about her actually through her podcast. She had a blog called A Slob Comes Clean, and then she had a podcast. And I found out about her through her podcast and then ultimately learned that she had a book. And so then I went in search of the book, and it was remarkably available in the library. So you should know that she has a podcast, and many, many episodes into the podcast. I think she's on around 180 something episodes. So go check out her podcast, because they're good. They're interesting Q&A and other kinds of discussions on organizing your home. As I said before, she's a blogger and podcaster. She was a homemaker and then realized that she wanted to get her home under control. And so she started blogging anonymously at a Slob Comes Clean, that blog. And then she started to go out there and help others kind of deal with their housekeeping struggles and dealing with the emotional aspects of that. She actually taught English and theater arts before leaving her professional career to join her new professional career as both a homemaker and then ultimately as this blogger podcaster. So very interesting background. And I think something about the book that people will realize very quickly is that she has a sense of humor about it all. From the Amazon page, I'm going to read the book description because I think it's useful for us all to know what she prefaces us with what the book's all about, and then we can kind of get into the discussion, Frank. It says here, you don't have to live overwhelmed by stuff. You can get rid of clutter for good. While the world seems to be in love with the idea of tiny houses and minimalism, many of us simply can't purge at all and start from nothing. Yet a home with too much stuff is a home that is difficult to maintain. So where do we begin? Add in paralyzing emotional attachments and constant life challenges, and it can feel almost impossible to make real decluttering progress. Further, in Decluttering at the Speed of Life, decluttering expert and author Dana White identifies the mindsets and emotional challenges that make it difficult to declutter. Then, in her signature humorous approach, she provides workable solutions to break through these struggles and get clutter out for good. I'm not going to read the whole description. Frank, what was your initial response to the book as you read it, comparative to other books that are out there on the market? And I have one particular one in my mind that I'll want to talk about, but I'm curious about how you compared them to other decluttering books.
Initially it was like, more of the same, you know, declutter, you just throw all your stuff away. But as I got into it, the more I read, the more I liked it because of the organizing principles that she talked about, and because they are so simple and they're so doable. And as we went from chapter to chapter, and she talked about one room versus the other, organizing your bedroom versus organizing your kitchen, decluttering your bedroom versus decluttering your kitchen, because she does talk about this isn't a book about organizing. This is a book about decluttering, and the two are two entirely different things. But the principles are the same, and she keeps coming back to those same principles as she gives specific vignettes about this room versus that other area of your house. So I enjoyed it, and the more I read, the more I enjoyed it.
So this contrasts very clearly with The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up and Spark Joy by Marie Kondo. And both of those books are, I'll put links to those in the show notes. They have a methodology that says things in your life should answer the question, do they spark joy in your life? And ultimately, what Marie Kondo does is she talks about the ways in which you can make more things fit into smaller spaces when indeed they are of high value to you, but they have to reach that really high bar, right? So they have to reach that really high bar, and then otherwise they should be removed. And if they can't be removed, how do you very purposefully, you know, roll up every one of your ties so they fit into little pockets in your underwear and tie drawer, wherever you keep your ties, and you know, very neatly fold your clothes and hang things so that you're able to fit more in compact spaces. Dana takes it to the opposite end, and she fundamentally believes in containers. And she talks about this idea of containers, and that what you should do is you should fit things to what can fit inside the containers. So a container could be a surface like a kitchen table. It could be a bookshelf. It could be a room. But you ultimately have to make things fit so that they visibly fit in the spaces. Then there's a visible kind of a functional design perspective, right? When you look at someplace and you look at that container, does it look like everything fits? And I think there's something very powerful about her message that is in contrast to Marie Kondo's thoughts there. What was your thought about that, Frank, in terms of her way of positioning that?
That was one of the big ahas for me about the book. That the idea of containers, that bookshelf is a container. So how many books can you have? Well, you can have the number of books that will fit in that bookcase. If you have more, you either need another bookcase or you need to pare it down. So she's not talking in terms of, do you alphabetize the books or do you organize them from the tallest to the smallest? So she's not getting into how to organize within the container, but she's simply saying that there are containers all over your house. The closet is a container. The bookcase is a container. The refrigerator is a container. However many you have must fit in that container. If they don't, figure out what's got to go. So, and that was one of the big ahas, and it kept coming back with every single chapter, with every single room of the house.
She really makes it apparent for you that this is a cumulative process, consistent process, and that you take this room by room, and the book is actually structured so that you actually do that room by room. And it actually reminds me, back in 2015, we discussed The Joy of Less by Miss Minimalist, who is Francine Jay, Miss Minimalist. She has the book, The Joy of Less, and we discussed that. And so I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But in The Joy of Less, she gives you this room by room guide, and she also does it with her 10-step process. And so she walks you through each of the 10 steps en route to decluttering, organizing, and simplifying. And so Dana is, in contrast, just saying, listen, we're just decluttering here. We're not necessarily, you know, creating some pristine view of the room. And, you know, that helps, I think, reduce some of the anxiety that people have with regard to decluttering. So with that, let's take it through some of the big ticket items that she talks about in the book.
Well, when she talked about, she made the confession that I am really bad at estimating how long something is going to take me. You know, you and I have probably all been a part of projects where, you know, we're going to get into this and we pull a bunch of stuff out and it takes longer than we thought it was going to be. So we make the mess, then we clean up the mess, and we make the mess, but then we don't have time to clean it up before we move on to something else. So we either leave this mess for 2 or 3 days or we neglect to start it because we feel like we won't be able to finish it. Her method, she's able to, if I've got 5 minutes to declutter, fine, I can do some of that. And she talks about just having the trash bag and the box. If I got my trash bag and I got my box, I can declutter a little something. And then when that time available runs out, I'm fine. I can now move on to something else, and I have not made a mess.
She also talks about the idea of the clutter cycle. And I thought this was very, very powerful for people to take to heart, which is that she actually has this quote, and I'll read from the book here. She says, "Comfort food tastes so good while I'm eating it, but the feeling doesn't last once the food is gone. I'm frustrated with myself for eating something that ultimately makes my life harder, because now my jeans don't fit, and my jeans not fitting makes me feel frustrated, and frustrated makes me crave something that's been chicken fried." So, you know, like, that reality is something that we all face in all aspects of our lives. And it comes back to my fundamental belief that routine is the the structure from which we should start being more productive. And in the decluttering space, in the organizing space, we need to think about the fact that what we do consistently every day adds up. And that's where, you know, the rate of compound return, whether that's compound interest in your bank account or compound benefits in your organizing or productivity or decluttering, you need to really think about the fact that these small acts really are very important. So you need to be able to learn good decluttering hygiene so that you're consistently keeping these spaces clean, and the little things that you do every day ultimately become part of the routine. Then once you start decluttering a room, it starts to stay decluttered because you have the systems in place not to allow it to become decluttered again. And I think that's really a powerful message. And as we talked about before, she walks everybody through every room step by step with these decluttering instructions. Let's go through each of those steps. So outline the steps for us, and then we'll talk about each of them.
Okay. Well, first of all, she says, you know, to declutter any area, it may just be a drawer, but first of all, look for what's trash. You know, what is the expired, as she's talking about, say, the refrigerator. All right. What's the yogurt that expired 2 months ago? What's the bottle of ketchup that expired 2 years ago? Okay. Those are part of the trash. So you got a big garbage bag. If it's the closet in your bedroom, where are the jeans with the holes in them? Of course, now you buy jeans with holes in them and pay actually more for them, but that's a whole nother story and editorial comment. But, you know, where are the mismatched socks, the things that aren't good for, you know, they're not going to be useful for anybody. So identify the trash, put it in the trash bag. And if you only got 5 minutes, well, you can put things in the trash bag for 5 minutes. And then you have a box to donate things. So what are the things that I don't need, but they might be useful for someone else? So they're books that I'm not interested in. It's things in the pantry that they're not expired. They're not open. They might be good for somebody else, but it was a sale. I bought 10 boxes of it. After the first one, I decided I really didn't like that particular recipe. I've got 9 more. They're perfectly good. Instead of them sitting in the pantry until they do expire, let me donate them. So instead of confronting that decision again over and over and over, put them in that donation box now and have a donation box all the time that members of the family can put things in. Then she talks about duh clutter, things that just absolutely don't belong where they are. You know, there's a toothbrush in the drawer beside the refrigerator in the kitchen. And it's in that particular drawer because when you came back from the dentist with your little goodie bag, that's where you just sort of stuck it because company was coming over. Take things and put them where they go. So if you've only got 5 minutes, this is trash, put it in the garbage bag. This is something to donate, put it in the box. This is something I'm going to keep, but it doesn't belong here. Right now, while I'm thinking about it, right now, while I got it in my hand, let me take it to the room. Let me take it to the area of my house where it does go and put it there. And then she talks about a couple of decluttering questions to ask. She says there are two of them. If I needed this item, where would I look for it? So whatever the answer is to that, that's probably where the thing needs to go. And then secondly, if I needed this item, would it ever occur to me that I already had one? That question didn't quite resonate with me as well as everything else she was talking about. But again, those are the principles that she takes all the way through the book in every single room.
Great. Thank you for doing that. I think that's really helpful for folks being able to kind of take that and immediately run with it, even if you don't read the book. And I actually do recommend that you do read the book because it's a great way for you to internalize the methodology. And again, I don't know about you, Frank, but I thought it was actually pretty humorous. I thought she was funny. And I think also it's because I know her from her podcast, so I know her voice, and I could kind of place what I was expecting her to how she would say things that made it all the more humorous for me.
You know, and having been in education for as many years as I have, for her to have the background in education, you know, I've always said that teachers are perfect for many, many other roles in life. Because if you're a teacher and you're a successful teacher, you have got to get up in front of people from different backgrounds and be interesting and be entertaining and be meaningful all day, every day for 175 days in a row, year after year. And that's not an easy one. And if you can get that right, you can probably write a book that's going to be interesting to other people, or you can get up and give a speech or give a workshop or work one-on-one at somebody's desk and be interesting and be empathetic and all of the good things that a teacher has to have to survive.
I completely agree. I think that it's great training for anything in life to, you know, I think that if you teach something, you learn it twice, as the adage goes. And so very frequently you're learning not just what the material you are teaching, but also the tangential benefits of being able to explain things to people, you know, and to be able to relate to people. And yeah, it's a great field.
There's one particular thing that she talked about in the kitchen with the bowls. And it's like she must have been looking over my shoulder, because, you know, in our kitchen here, I wish we had more cabinet space, and we don't. So I put in, you know, shelf dividers and that sort of thing. But when you open up the cabinets, the bowls and the lids that go on the top of them. So, you know, I've got those bowls nested one in the other. And why? You get more of them in a smaller space. But you know the problem I have? When I go to get a bowl out, you got to get the whole thing of bowls out and then dig down to the one you want. And then good luck finding the lid.
Right.
You know, I read this book and she said, don't do that. She says, don't nest the bowls. Put the lid on the bowl. When it comes out of the dishwasher, put the lid on the bowl, put it in the cabinet. Well, you can't fit as many of them in the cabinet that way. And she says, exactly. It's a container. The cabinet is a container. Pare it down to the number of bowls that will fit with the lids on them. After all, how many can you use? How many are going to fit in your refrigerator? Because they're going to have the lids on them there anyway. You know, if you got 25 bowls, but at any one time you're only using 5 of them, why do you have 25 to start with? So I may be doing some decluttering in my own kitchen as a result of reading this book.
I recently had the same travails. We have a over the kitchen sink cabinet that has all of our Pyrex nested with the lids situation. And, you know, you take it out and you have to unnest each one in order to get to the smallest container. And I use the smallest containers most frequently. You know, you get a little bit of extra, you know, we use a lot of those veggie crumbles, you know, the grilled veggie crumbles for tacos or whatever, Taco Tuesday. And and so you have a little bit of taco, you know, mixture left at the end of the meal, and you want to have that for lunch tomorrow. So you want to package it. And of course, then it takes you 2-3 minutes to undo each of the glass containers to get to the smallest one. And so I decided that the smaller containers actually needed to stay out. Separately nested. And that meant not everything could fit in the cabinet, which meant that some of the other, the plasticware, you know, the plastic containers had to go. We were keeping way too many of those plastic containers. We don't use them, so they got donated. And so a clear principle in practice that Dana talks about. And I don't miss it. You know, why did I need 25 plastic containers? You know, like our fridge can't fit that much stuff. Our fridge and freezer couldn't fit that much stuff. So I think it's really, really useful to build that rubric into your mind, is that when you're bringing it in, are you really going to need it? And this is something that she also talks about. And then I'd like to close out the conversation with a discussion on the friends and family declutter construct that she talks about. But the idea here is that when you bring something into your home, you need to have the discussion about whether or not it is going to fit into the container. And so, you know, it's very easy to order, you know, order out, have food delivered. And then you're like, oh, well, we could just, this is a really nice sturdy container that they sent. I wouldn't want it to go to waste. And so then you start collecting them. And ultimately those are, those end up not being useful to you after you have two or three of them. Why do you need 20 of them? And you really do need to take that to heart. And now that's a simple scenario, but it becomes much more complex when it, when you start making decisions about things that you want to buy and bring into your home and making the decision up front. Well, where is it going to fit in the container, which is my home or my office or my laundry room or otherwise, right? Once you make that decision about whether or not it's actually going to fit in the space, then you, then you're a little bit more conscientious, and that creates competence in that skill of determining whether or not you're creating clutter or not. And I think that's a very powerful tool to have. I'd like to talk about her family and friends decluttering advice. And again, this, this, she clearly states up front that this is not a book about hoarding. So, you know, this is not the same, right? Hoarding is a condition, and she's really talking about decluttering generally as a practice that we all experience, not as hoarding, which is a, which is an extreme example of clutter. So she does talk about how to help family members, kids, and friends with decluttering. Frank, what did you learn from her about how to approach people that you want to help, both in a respectful and a gracious way?
That what works for one person does not necessarily work for everybody. And that, you know, just because I want to see this particular thing go doesn't mean that other person might want to do that. But, you know, as she talks about helping your kids declutter, that letting them go through and pick out their favorite toys or their, you know, their favorite jeans, letting them make some decisions about what is it we want to keep. And then sort of letting them see the problem, you know, that, you know, the closet is now full. You know, we can't put anything else in there. So if we can only put this much, what are your favorite items? And I like the way she breaks it down, and she talks separately about kids, your spouse, your friends, older people, and then when you've got to declutter the whole house, either you're moving or a relative has died and now you're tasked with cleaning out that house. So they're, all of them are different scenarios. They have some things in common, but I like the way she approaches each one. In fact, if somebody out there listening to this is now in the middle of, I'm now in charge with cleaning out a house, reading this book just for that chapter would be well worth it.
I agree. And I am in that state of dealing with an older family member who is going to need to start, you know, cleaning up things, downsizing it a bit. Whether or not life changes today or tomorrow or, you know, 3 years or 5 years from now, it's going to make everybody's life easier if that's dealt with now. And it's a very emotional time of life, you know?
Oh, yeah. And like one example she talked about, you know, say, of course, at age 59, I've had grandparents die. My parents have died. So you're inheriting things, you know, the china, you know, and well, and you don't have room for all of it. But gosh, you can't throw away grandmother's china or mother's china because it just, you know, something just seems wrong. A part of you just went out the door. But you could take one plate and mounted on the wall as a remembrance, as something sentimental. You know, you don't have to keep the entire 8-piece place setting when you could get the same sentimental remembrance of that loved one by one plate that would give you those same memories. So, you know, I thought that was significant, and that, you know, she's dealing with the intellectual aspects of containers and this sort of thing, but that she's also taking into account the emotional attachment that we have to our stuff and how some of that stuff reminds us of people and places and events in our lives.
I really like books that always focus on both aspects of dealing with any issue, like the emotional as well as the logical. And I think that Dana White does a great job here of trying to tackle both of those ends, not too deeply, but just enough so that you can get to action, that you can get into the fray and start to make some order out of the chaos. And so final thoughts, Frank, about Decluttering at the Speed of Life before we close out, and then would you recommend the book?
Highly recommend the book. Absolutely. Let's see, copyright, it is a fairly new.
Yeah, February 2018, I think, right?
Yep, 2018, yeah. So it's new. Everything I'm seeing about it, as other people have reviewed it and talked about it, it's definitely up and coming. People really like the book. Universally. I found it in our public library. I'm in the Birmingham metropolitan area. So it's probably one that readers will find in the public library. And of course, if you don't, Amazon.com, so forth and so on. But absolutely worth the read for anybody.
Yeah. Likewise, I think the biggest takeaway for me from the book was the idea of having a decluttering mindset, having a hygiene associated with it. It reminds me of, if folks know The Fly Lady, I'll put a link to that in the show notes also, and kind of just like the Fly Lady construct of doing a little bit every day, and that allows you to stay on top of things, and doing that before you start to try to declutter, because ultimately those skills will allow you not to get back under siege by the clutter once you start decluttering, because there's no reason in decluttering only to have it reclutter again and again and again and feel defeated if you have the right mechanisms in place. I really just like that construct generally, and I like that across all things productivity. And so, yes, I will absolutely recommend the book. I've already bought a copy for the older family member that I talked about, with the hope that it opens up the dialogue and helps us start to deal with some of those issues. Because this is not an issue of a hoarder. This is really just a clutter filled space, and it needs to be dealt with. And so this would be a really great way for us to discuss the topic and make it a healthy discussion, and then follow the methodology and see if it works for this member of this family member. So I'm looking forward to that. So this closes out the conversation for Decluttering at the Speed of Life, Winning Your Never-Ending Battle with Stuff by Dana K. White. Again, she's the blogger podcaster at A Slob Comes Clean. Thank you, Dr. Frank Buck, for this fun discussion of decluttering.
I enjoyed it.
Wonderful. So a couple of announcements before we close out the call. First and foremost, you can find all of the episodes of Productivity Book Group at productivitybookgroup.org. And we have live discussion calls, usually quarterly. And those quarterly calls are currently published on productivitybookgroup.org under upcoming books. So just look for the upcoming books link, click on that, and you'll see our schedule. There's actually even a Google Calendar link, so you can subscribe to the calendar, so you'll see them automatically populate in your calendar. Please feel free to visit iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, or whatever podcast directory you use to access Productivity Book Group. You can subscribe there. You can also leave a review and rating a review, and that helps us expand our readership, bring new readers and callers to the fold. So thank you. Finally, as I said before, all podcast episodes are archived at productivitybookgroup.org under episodes. So if you want to go back and listen to any of the prior episodes, if they for some reason don't show up in your preferred podcast feed, they are all there on the website for you. That finishes out my announcements for this episode. And otherwise, here's to your productive life, everybody. Take care.